The reading this morning is from Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. I'm Kathy. I'm one of the pastors here. If I haven't met you, it's so good to have you here. So today we're commencing a new series called Being on Mission in a Complex World. Can I start with a fun fact? Who has heard of William Carey? Let's see a show of, oh my gosh, look, many of us. So William Carey has gone down in history as the father of modern mission. Now, why? Because when William read the Great Command that Trish just read to us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you," Carey refused to believe that when Jesus said that he was only speaking to the disciples who were immediately in his presence. So convinced was he that he wrote a paper about that. And when I say paper, it was a 138-page paper into why this commission that Jesus gave is actually for all people. That it includes every single one of us to go and make disciples. And William Carey, he wasn't a scholar when he did this. He was just a simple shoemaker. Sorry for any shoemakers in the room. Right, he's just a very ordinary, everyday guy, but so convinced was he that he didn't just write this paper, but he and his friend John Thomas jumped on a boat, set sail for India, and they became the first English missionaries there. And they had a huge and lasting impact in India. Well, here's the fun fact. William Carey's grandson, W.L. Carey, was the first pastor of Parramatta Baptist Church. Yeah, back when we formed in about 1850. And so our first pastor, I love this, our first pastor lived and breathed mission. He shared the conviction of his grandfather that Jesus' great commission was for every follower of Jesus, that all of us are called to make disciples. And so I reckon as we embark on this series of being on mission in a complex world, that the Careys, if they can see us from heaven, they would be cheering us on, going, "Come on, peeps, bring it on." So, back to Jesus' words. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Be open to the possibility that God may just call you to another country to share Jesus and to make disciples. But can I just say that for many of us, that won't necessarily be the case. And so what does this commission mean for us? A few years ago, we began identifying the places where we go through the week as our sent places. Seeing our everyday context with a missional lens. So when Jesus says, "Go and make disciples," the place where he sends you might be your workplace. It might be your soccer team. It might be with parents at the school gate or when you're standing on the sidelines of some sporting game. It might be at the doctor's surgery, or the hairdresser, or your neighbourhood, or your unchurched family or friends. You know, all of us have places where we regularly go through the week, where we're alongside people who don't yet know Jesus, places where we are sent, We want to use that language. So what I would love you to do is to turn to one or two people near you, and I'd love you to share, just for you to personally identify, what are some of the places where you are sent, and what are some of the opportunities that you have to make Jesus known in that sent place? And also, realistically, what are some of the obstacles or the limitations that you face in your sent place? You got that? Have a chat. One or two people near you. All right, how did you go? I wanted us to share some of the obstacles and limitations because the reality is our world is complex, isn't it? Christianity has gone from being the core around which our culture shapes its values to now being on the margins. Christians are often framed in a negative way in the media, and many people form their views about Christianity from that media presence or social media presence. And so our beliefs and our values can often be seen at best as a little bit antiquated or at worst even in some quarters seen as a little bit dangerous. So there's a lot of negative perception in our culture. And in many places, there's also some prohibitions on what we are and aren't allowed to do as Christians, right? You know, so, you can't proselytize and, there's all sorts of things put around us being able to freely share our faiths. So many of us do find ourselves on mission in a complex world, don't we? Yeah? And, you know, if it was just us navigating that alone, those complexities by ourselves, we would be on the losing team. But thank God, Jesus didn't expect us to do this alone. And by the way, I just want to remind us that context when Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples, that the context of the first century was equally as complex, different complexities, but still very complex. And so for them, when they would make Jesus known, when they would try and make disciples after Jesus left, they were often beaten or ran out of town, jailed, and then a number of them actually laid down their life for the sake of the gospel as well. And so like us, if those early disciples had to navigate the complexities of making disciples alone, they also would have been on the losing team. But they weren't. And neither are we. Why? Because God has given us his Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he told his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father gives you the gift that he has promised. John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit was vital if they were going to succeed in mission. And nothing has changed. You know, in our complex world, the Holy Spirit is just as vital. And so if you remember one thing today, I pray that it's this. The Holy Spirit is vital if we are going to do this mission that Jesus gave us. So when it comes to us being led and empowered by the Spirit in our sent places today, there are three things that we are to do: to know, to ignite, and to trust. Now, I don't normally speak in acronyms, but this happens to form the word KIT. So you might think of this as your KIT for being effective when it comes to sharing Jesus and making disciples. Firstly, know. know that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on who? All believers. In Acts 1:8, Peter speaks to a massive crowd and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Titus 3:5 and 6 says, when we gave our lives to Christ, that Jesus washed away our sin, giving us new birth through the Holy Spirit, new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. And it says he generously poured out his Spirit on us through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's not just given to the anointed ones or the spiritual types. If you've given your life to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And he's not a passive presence in you. He has an agenda. His agenda is twofold: to make you like Jesus and also to make Jesus known through you. And so in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is sometimes dubbed the Spirit of Mission. And I really want to encourage you, go back and read through the book of Acts as we go through this series and note how often the Holy Spirit is involved in making Jesus known. He sets up opportunities for people to speak of Jesus. He empowers people to do the things that they couldn't otherwise do. He leads them to go to places. He leads them to the groups of people that they're to speak to. He gives them courage. He causes listeners to suddenly be attentive to what they're saying. So, I want you to imagine that the Holy Spirit is like our trusty leaf blower. So the leaf blower has shown up in a number of illustrations this year. I think it's just because he happens to be at church. He actually has a gender now as well. Happens to be at church every Sunday. Can I have a volunteer? Jenny, you are going to volunteer. Here we go. Come on up. She's really dressed for this. The red shoes. Here we go.
I was volunteering to help out there.
She did. She walked in. She said, can I assist? And I said, yes, you can. So be careful what you say. So let's say Jenny gets to church and the whole front area is covered in leaves. We've had the spring winds and it's just covered in leaves. And Jenny thinks to herself, oh, if only we had some way of dealing with these leaves. Maybe we should pray for someone to come and clean up the leaves. You know, you would want to grab Jenny by the shoulders, right, and go, you have a leaf blower, you can clean the leaves. You've got it, right? And you know, I just wonder if God isn't doing that with us sometimes. That we in our sent places, we're looking around or even in our world in general and we're thinking, if only people would follow Jesus. And I wonder if God isn't grabbing us by the shoulders and saying, I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you all that you need. You can do this. Don't just pray that someone else will do it. You do it. Thank you. You can sit down. I won't get you to stand. No, I won't get you to use it. There we go. And yet knowing that we have a leaf blower isn't quite enough, is it? The I in our kit stands for ignite. In Luke 11, Jesus teaches about prayer, encouraging us to ask boldly, to ask, seek, and knock. But you know what he says we're to ask him for? These are his words in Luke 11, Jesus says, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And this should raise a question for us. Because if we already have the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus, why then would we need to ask for the Holy Spirit? Paul's instruction in Ephesians 5:18, I think, sheds light into this, where Paul is addressing people who are believers already, and he says to them, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word that Paul uses, although it looks like past tense when it's translated into English, it was actually in Greek present and continuous. In other words, go on being filled. Be regularly filled with the Holy Spirit. So igniting the Spirit in us can be as simple as just a regular and sincere ask as we're praying. Lord, would you fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit? For me personally, this is just a snippet of my testimony. I didn't know a great deal about the Holy Spirit in my younger years. I grew up in a church that didn't mention the Spirit very often, probably if at all. And so I was still passionate to see people follow Christ. I was passionate to see disciples made. And so I threw everything I had at serving God. But I have to say, I was doing that for years, and I remember, just thinking, this isn't very effective. I don't feel like I'm bearing very much fruit here. And in all honesty, my own walk with the Lord feels really dry. And so finally, in desperation one day, I was actually already here as a pastor at this point. But in desperation one day, I just cried out to God, just saying, God, there must be more than this. Because if this is all there is, I don't think I'm going to last the distance. Well, it kicked off for me a period of asking God for more. And at that stage, I was really lousy at having quiet times. And so I just made this covenant, this pact with Steve, that he would keep me accountable. So once a week, I would have a decent time with the Lord. And so I kept to that. And to be honest, for about 6 months, it was a bit of a slog until one day it was like, and I was just at home, one day it was like God had walked into the room. The Holy Spirit had just walked in, and wave upon wave of the love of God just swept over me, and it permanently rearranged me. I didn't say anything about it for the first few weeks because I thought, oh, this is just like a camp high. It's just going to go away. Well, it didn't. It didn't. But, as Ephesians says, it's not just a one-time filling. For me, I can't just rely on that event from 2 and a bit decades ago. But for me, it's just this then ongoing thing, as Ephesians says, be filled in an ongoing way. So just about every single day of my life, I pray that prayer. Lord, would you fill me afresh for all that lays before me today, for all that will come my way. I love the testimony of Jackie Pullinger. Has anyone heard of her? A few. Jackie followed God's call into mission, and she felt led to what was then known as the Walled City in Hong Kong. Now, the Walled City was, can we have a photo of it? It's just the size of one city block. And it had a population of about 33,000 people. At that point, it was considered to be one of the most densely populated areas on the planet. And it was like the most lawless place. It kind of like was this little enclave that was outside of the law. And so prostitution and drug addiction and crime and triad gangs, like everything just ran rife in this walled city. And for reasons that can only be explained by a move of God, Jackie Pullinger just felt really led by God. She's this white Dutch young adult. She felt really drawn by God to go and to share Jesus in that place. And so she was so deeply passionate to see Jesus saved. She would share Jesus all over the place. But after a while, she realized that she didn't have the power to make Jesus known. Her words weren't enough. And so finally, one day in desperation, she prayed, "Lord, please give me whatever it is that is needed to make Jesus real to the lost, because my words don't appear to be working." And Jackie describes being ignited by the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, she began seeing drug addicts and prostitutes and eventually even triad gang members just giving their lives to Christ. Some were freed miraculously from drug addiction. Some had to go through the hard slog, but she just saw lives get radically transformed. It's estimated that she saw thousands of people come to Christ and become followers of Jesus. If I can bring this back to the Holy Spirit being like a leaf blower, every follower of Jesus has the Holy Spirit. But like people with a leaf blower, if we are going to be effective in what we're designed to do, we need to be switched on. We need to be ignited by the Holy Spirit. So ask for his filling and keep asking for his filling. There is more available to you and I than we currently have when it comes to making Jesus known. It's like the resources of heaven are poised every day, ready to be poured out on those of us who would make ourselves available and those of us who would ask. And for those who feel like that's a bit scary or unknown, Jesus actually addresses those hesitations. He said, "If you who are sinful know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father," and you know, read here like loving and kind Father, "give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask." Being afraid to ask for the Holy Spirit is like a child who just won't take a Christmas present from his dad because he doesn't believe that his dad knows him enough. Doesn't believe that his dad, you know, just can't trust him that the gift would be good. Don't be like the son or daughter standing at the Christmas tree just refusing to take the gift that the Father so wants to generously pour out on you and I so that we can make Jesus known. Well, the T in our kit stands for trust or faith. So, you know, I can have a leaf blower. I can even have my leaf blower switched on. But if I don't go to the places where the leaves actually are and use it to blow leaves, then what is the point of having it, right? So when it comes to making Jesus known, there are many ways that we need to exercise trust. I just want to name three of them today. Because it is this exercise of faith, I reckon, in stepping into those places to make Jesus known. So let me name three ways we need to trust. Firstly, trust God as you seize everyday opportunities in your sent places. I love the story of Peter and John in Acts 3. They're on their way to the temple, and as they're going, they come across a lame beggar. And this beggar asks them for money. And Peter and John, well, they don't have any money. But I love that they don't focus on what they don't have. Instead, they focus on what they do. And so Peter explains, "Look, mate, I don't have any money to give you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." What if, rather than focusing on what we lack, we were to focus on what we have because of the power of the Holy Spirit through us? Often seizing everyday opportunities to make Jesus known is trusting the Holy Spirit's promptings. You know, some of the ways that people described his promptings are, "I just knew," or "I had a little niggle that wouldn't go away," Or sometimes it comes with quite a strong conviction. Sometimes it's just that you know you've stepped into a situation where it's like, oh my goodness, like it's like God has already set this circumstance up or made these people ready. I don't even know how this happened, but all of a sudden I'm in this kind of situation. Sometimes the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks with us can be a little bit more, you know, supernatural, like it can include dreams or a word of knowledge or something like that. Very occasionally I have really hot burning hands, and I know that when that happens, like it's not that I've had them on the heater, it's just for no reason. The rest of me can even be cold, but for no reason they'll be hot. Now I know that when that happens it's to pray for healing for someone. But don't wait for the extreme stuff. Like just lean in to what might be that little prompt that the Spirit is giving you. Speak in this situation. Seize this opportunity. Make the most of this. We need to step into those places. And quite often, we don't know for sure, right? This is where faith and trust comes in. Because if God had sent us like a black and white letter and we'd go, okay, I've got 100% guarantee that God's in this, well, then we'd probably step in a little bit more confidently. But quite often, it's just this little sense that we have where the place of trust is actually taking this step, trusting that God's going to meet us there. So, trust God to seize the opportunity. Secondly, trust that God will open and close doors according to his sovereign purposes. In Acts 16, there's this like classic little chapter of example in this, where the Holy Spirit just opens and closes doors as Paul's on his mission. It's like, you know, Paul's got his plans and then the door to where he's going just gets closed. And I really like that Paul doesn't get discouraged and go, oh, well, I'll just give up then. I may as well go back, you know, to where I came from. And he doesn't get discouraged about that. He just recalibrates. All right, if it's not there, then I'm going to go over here. And it's like the Holy Spirit just keeps redirecting Paul's plans. I'm just going to close this door, but as this one closes, I'm going to open one over here. And Paul just is able to kind of pivot, if I can use that COVID word, just into the opportunities that are there to make Jesus known. So trust God as he opens and closes doors. You know, I think we need to remember this is God's mission, not ours, right? He's the one going before us, making people ready, setting up circumstances for us to step in. So look for the doors that he's opening. And when they do open, step through them. And if a door closes, don't beat yourself up about that. Don't go, oh, you know, I'm just no good about this. You know those old narratives that we like to run through our heads when it comes to making Jesus known? Don't go back to those old narratives. Oh, I suck at this, you know. Just recalibrate. Okay, that door's closed, and it's not necessarily about me. It's just about God's timing. God is sovereign in this, but he's opened a door over here, so I'm going to step through this one instead. Trust God to open and close doors. And finally, trust him that even when there is persecution, there is still always opportunity to share our faith. The Holy Spirit doesn't back away from making hearts ready just because there's a bunch of man-made laws saying that we can't do it. Last year, Steve and I had the privilege of having a Zoom meeting with a guy in a refugee camp. And this guy had become a follower of Jesus, and he'd had to flee for his life with his family. And because he'd made that decision to follow Christ, so he'd left his family, he'd left everything that he'd had behind. And whilst I'm there, we're having this Zoom meeting with him, and I'm there feeling really sorry for this guy. This guy is busy telling me about now the opportunities that he has to make Jesus known in the refugee camp and the six people that he'd already led to Christ in that place. And so I'm kind of there going, oh my goodness, oh, that's so risky. And so I'm there focused again on the risk, and he's focused on all the opportunities that are still there before him. Did this guy trust that the Holy Spirit was going before him? Without question. Did my trust in what the Holy Spirit can do look a little bit weak in comparison? Without question. Was I inspired to keep growing in my trust of what the Holy Spirit can do in any and every situation, even in those situations where I feel like there's pushback or I might get in trouble for this or blah, 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 blah? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit is relentless in making Jesus known. We do live in a complex world, but we are on the winning team. We have the Holy Spirit. It is His power at work in us and through us, drawing people to Christ. Will you trust Him enough to partner with Him in the places where He sends you through your week? And will you make it your practice just to regularly ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, that you might be filled to overflowing with the love and the power of Christ every day? Can we pray? Jesus, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you have given us your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't just set a task before us and leave us to it and wish us luck, but God, you've given us everything that we need. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for where we make it about ourselves, what we feel we can and can't do. Lord, where we reduce our expectations and our hopes to ourselves. Forgive us, Lord God. And I just pray today, would you fill us afresh with your Spirit? Lord God, I want to pray that you would open our ears, open our eyes to recognize the opportunities that you are setting up, the doors that you are opening. Lord God, I want to pray that we would lean in with intentionality in the places where you send us. I pray, Lord God, that we won't just be consumed by just the tasks that lie before us in just living every day, but Lord God, that we would reset this mission of sharing Jesus back as center in our lives. Lord, I thank you for what you are going to do and what you are doing through us. And Lord, we just pray for more in Jesus' name. Amen.